Hey friends, welcome to The Perfectionist Guide to Mothering. I'm your host, Andrea Fortenberry. This is a podcast about finding freedom from perfectionism to show up for the life God has for you. Mom life is messy, unpredictable, and just plain hard sometimes, but it's also amazing. I believe God uses it all to grow us into the women He wants us to be. We can't do motherhood on our own. We need God's help. We need wisdom from other moms. We need the encouragement of community. I hope you'll find all of that and more as you listen in. Welcome to episode 88 of The Perfectionist Guide to Mothering. Today I'm sharing my conversation with Jody Kanazowicz. Jody is a previous guest of the podcast, and you can check out our conversation on navigating mental health issues in episode 31, which I will link for you in the show notes. A little about Jody. She is passionate about helping others build a life that is based on mental and spiritual wellness. Jody's hope is that by sharing her story, her writing will shine a light on the importance of mental health while pointing readers to Jesus. When she is not teaching her elementary students how to read, Jody loves to travel with her family and she spends any time she can outdoors. She is the author of Soulful Surrender, Learning to Do Less So God Can Do More. I think you're really going to enjoy this conversation and I hope that you will share it with a friend. Just send them the link right as you're listening and we would really appreciate it. Welcome back to the podcast, Jody. I'm so excited to have you back.
Thank you so much for having me, Andrea. I really appreciate the time to be able to come here and reconnect with you and chat and share my story with your community. So thank you.
Yes, I've already talked to listeners about your new book, Soulful Surrender, Learning to Do Less So God Can Do More. I just love that title. And I think surrender is definitely a skill that perfectionist moms struggle with because we like to control things. So I would love for you to share, give us some behind the scenes. What led you to writing this new book?
Oh yeah. Great. Thanks. And absolutely. I myself would coin myself as a perfectionist type mom. I like to kind of control and manipulate and manage things. And about 6 years ago, I had an unforeseen season of like extreme insomnia where I just stopped sleeping for several months. I would be up at like 1 a.m. The mind would be spinning, couldn't get back to sleep. And I'd, you know, get up and go to work and come home and do the mom thing and then just do that all over again. And being the striver and performer that I am, I tried to just push through that. I even tried to ignore that and stuff it away and not face it. But after about 4 months of that, my body just completely shut down. And now that I'm through the fire and I can look back, I know that that was definitely God's way of getting me to stop and to pause. Surrender is something that I have to practice on a regular basis. And I was not very good at it. I wasn't good at it at all back then. I like to handle everything and take care of everything. While I've always been a faith-filled person, that definitely wasn't at the top of my list. I was kind of going and doing and performing and striving and checking off all the things on my list without really checking in with Him, with God on a regular basis. So I think there's many things that kind of brought on my season of insomnia, which led to some very crippling anxiety and then kind of walked me right into the depths of depression, so much so that I ended up taking a quarter off of work. I'm a school teacher. And thankfully, I had a nice support group around me, and I was able to take that time to get the help that I needed to see some doctors and counselors and honestly just surrender to God. I mean, there was nothing I could fix. There was nothing I could control. There was nothing that my husband could fix or change. It was really a big, what I call spiritual wake-up call from God on me needing to put Him first, that my life needed to be less about me and my wants and desires and my to-do lists and more about what He had for me and has for me. So that was kind of the kickstart to it. And just through that, I grew and I learned so much. It was such a wonderful transformation. It was very difficult as I was going through it. And I always say I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy, but I'm so glad God took me through that. Now that I'm through the fire and through the storm, and I can look back and I've seen in the last 6 years how much I have learned and unlearned and changed and grown, and how I've been able to support other people and kind of have that hand reaching back saying, I've been where you are. I get it. I know it's real. I know it's hard. And, you know, and then 2020 hit shortly thereafter, because that was like the 17, 18. And like many people, I had a lot more time on my hands. So I really delved into writing and just started kind of sharing my writings and got connected with Called Creatives, which is how I met you, an online writing Christian group, and started doing articles and guest blog posts and podcasts like yours. And I went to their writing retreat in the summer of 22, I guess it was. Yes. And then pitched my book to them, and here we are. So
yeah,
kind of a long convoluted way, but just that, you know, it's a long time between what's happened. And, you know, Sometimes I tell people like what I'm writing about in the book is like 6 years ago, but you know, I had to get through that storm and I had to learn and dapple with some things, and then really develop the passion and the love and the listening to his call to write and to share this particular story, and then the process of actually writing a book.
Yeah. It reminds me actually today in my MOPS group, we were reading through some things and the verse came up. I think it's 2 Corinthians chapter 1, where it talks about that we receive comfort from God and then we can go out and comfort others. So
yes.
I think for most writers, that's the journey, as we go through things ourselves and then we can encourage others. So I appreciate you sharing your story and that it's from a place of encouragement and just sharing. And again, I love the title of the book. I think as moms, we very often feel like it all depends on us, because we are responsible for a lot of things in our households and keeping things going. But I think we just put so much extra pressure on ourselves to be perfect or to, you know, live up to expectations that we have of ourselves or other people put on us. And it's exhausting. It's exhausting.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And you're so right. I mean, once I got through that at the time, like many people who are facing mental health struggles, I was carrying some shame and some stigma and what's wrong with me? I have such a blessed life, and many days of like, why God, why are you doing this to me? Like, you know, how long is this going to last? I cannot do this. And as I took that time and I checked in with myself, and it was like a heart check as far as, Jody, like, where are your priorities? Where's your focus? And really, like I said, my husband was at work. He's also a teacher. My four kids were up and out of the house. They were going to school. And so it was just me and a lot of time in prayer and conversation and in God's word, reconnecting and really reevaluating my priorities and where I was placing importance, and honestly realizing that with all of the striving and all of the performing, and, you know, one of the chapters is less yes, more no. So how to say yes less and say no more often, and be okay with that, and realize that that is being like Jesus, and that we can't, if we say yes to everything, which moms tend to do, we're just scraping the surface of all of these things. And so I learned that I had to pick like what really mattered to me and my family, what was important to us. And then really more importantly, like, what was God calling me to do? Like, was he calling me to sign up for all of these volunteer things and all of these activities and all of the field trips and do all of the committees at school? Was he really calling me to those things? Or was that me idolizing my performance and the accolades, which was big for me? Like, until I stepped out of myself and really examined myself and went through some counseling, I didn't realize how much I thrived off of the praise and accolades from others. And, you know, and it was really a big, like, whoa, Jody, like, that's then your idol. Like, You should be looking for God's praise and his
Right.
accolades. And are you even asking him, out of all of these things, which ones he really wants you to do? So that was a big like turning point for me, that even though the things and even the people, like my kids, and making sure they had all the things and got to all the places, they were becoming idols. And they're gifts, and I love my children, but they are gifts that God has given me. And when they become more important and get more of my time and my focus and my attention and my love than he does, yikes, I started to realize, like, oh, this is not good. It
Right.
was a big shift, and that was hard, but I felt like it's a truth that I needed to reconcile with and to accept it and figure out how to make it better.
Yeah, I love that you shared that because I think it's really easy for us to idolize our kids and idolize the role of being a mom or a wife or an employee, whatever, whatever fill in the blank that is for us. It's really easy for us to do that. So I love that you shared that. I also love that you shared about just really craving that approval and that praise from others. Because again, if we're really honest, I think most of us desire that. But
Oh, yes.
yeah, because we all need encouragement. We all need a pat on the back. Like,
100%.
I think that's a
Yep.
need we all have to be known and to be seen. But do we let it cross an unhealthy line of where our motives to do things are so that we receive the praise and the accolades and that kind of thing?
Right. Or the fear of, I'm so overwhelmed, I'm so stressed out, I'm so exhausted, I can't take on one more thing. But instead of prayerfully, I can't get that word out, prayerfully considering that and just saying, you know what, right now, like, I would love to, but right now I just can't, for fear of upsetting people, like the fear of, if we say no, like, well, they are not going to think as highly of me, when really, in all actuality, they will, and they most likely would think
Right.
more of you for being honest and saying, like, I just can't do it right now. But I think that just that tendency to yes, and just pile it all on, or even with like social events and like the holidays coming up, like the need to feel like that we have to say yes to all of the events and all the things and
Right.
all the gatherings that we might be invited to, and then you just find yourself exhausted and strung out and not able to really enjoy any of it. And then it's kind of like, what's all that for?
Right.
Is what I've learned. And I think it's just all part of getting older too, wisdom. Like when I was younger, I'd be like, oh, the older people, they're so wise. And you think, gosh, how do they get that way? And I think being a woman in my upper 40s, getting close to a new decade, it really does just come with time. And for me, a more intentional personal connection with God, and like checking with him on things and actually praying about things before just jumping in and saying yes, or taking things on that we know is just going to add more to our already very full plates.
Right. Well, and then I was thinking as you were talking about, when we give yeses and all of those things. And I think sometimes we forget that not every need is ours to meet. And that when we give those yeses out of obligation or again, just the wrong motives, that then we're robbing someone else of the opportunity to step up or grow or learn or be the leader or whatever it is. So really, God
Absolutely.
can do more sometimes with our no because he's training up someone new or we get to move into something else. So that just thought just came to me as
Yeah,
you were saying that.
absolutely. I think that is so true. And I even mentioned that in that particular chapter, that like it does. It like clears the path for somebody else to have a chance and to share the wealth. And that kind of feeds into one of my other chapters, is less self-sufficient, more dependent. So the book, when you read it, it's each chapter is less of something so that God can do more of something else, or that we can grow. So like less yes, more no. And then there's less self-sufficient, more dependent. Just surrendering and realizing and acknowledging the fact that we can't do it all, and it's okay to ask for help. And most doers and perfectionists and strivers, we are the ones that feel like, oh, if I ask for help, that's going to look bad. But we're also the helpers. We want to be the first to help and to heal, and and so let other people help us. Like, and that's what I learned. Like, Jody, you love helping people. You love organizing things for people and celebrating people. Let them help you with this stuff. Like, share what's going on and let somebody else be your helper, because it's going to fulfill them. Much like you said, who knows what God's going to do in and through that for them and their growth and their faith.
Yeah, I think we all struggle with asking for help from time to time. But like you said, when we remember everyone needs help and it's just our turn, our season for that. And then again, we can go out and help others. Like you said, we love to do that. But sometimes we're the one that has to raise our hand and say, I need some help. And others are blessed by that too.
Right, sure. And I think even just being open and honest, even with our own immediate families, I think we sometimes, well, I don't want to, my husband's so busy with this, I don't want to ask for that. Or my kids have been to school all day and homework and sports. But just, hey, family, like, mom needs some help here. Like, can somebody please run the vacuum? Can, it just, like, teaching kids that everybody does need help and it's important to step in and help, and that you're part of a community and a family. And that's what you do to give to a community and to a family. Yeah. Just huge things that I think I was just, like I said, living in such a rushed, hurried state that, oh, it's just quicker if I do it myself. I just get it done.
Just,
like,
easier.
It's easier, just easier. But really, in the long run, no, it's not.
Right.
And I learned that because I did it for years. And then it was like, hello, I'm going to stop you here for a minute, and we're going to learn some things.
Yeah. Well, on that note, what are some practical things that we can do to stop that striving and hustling through our days and instead help us to be more present and, again, to live a surrendered life?
That is a great question. And it's one, honestly, I've written a book on it, but I am certainly not an expert. It's not easy. It's a daily, God, I am surrendering this day to you. Here, I mean, I literally open my hands in the morning, like, here are my open palms. Like, yes, I have a to-do list, but I'm giving it to you. Go before me and show me the way. I've learned that I have to practice it every day. And it's become much more of a rhythm and a routine for me. But I can very easily, in the midst of a day, after just having spent some quiet time in the morning with God, find myself like white knuckling and clenching my jaw and trying to strive and get it all done. And I have to pause and take a breath and, God, I surrender. Like, show me what you want me to see in this situation. What do you want me to do? And, I've always been a very faith-filled person, and I grew up in the church, and my husband and I have always gone to church through dating and marriage and have taken our kids. But even those things became kind of a to-do and a check. Well, let's say prayer real quick before dinner. Let's say our nighttime prayers. Let's get to church. Okay, let's hustle to the ball fields. Like, check, check, check. And I realized that I needed that intentional quiet time to be with God in prayer or meditation, journaling, reading his word for me. And I know that different people have different schedules. That's how it works for me. Mm-hmm. Like, I get up extra early in the morning, and I've done that every day now for the last 6 years. And that was not a part of my daily routine. I was trying to get as much sleep as I could, which, again, I completely understand. Like, moms of littles, like, you have to sleep when you can get it. So I think just take a look at your day or even your week, and where can you squeeze in pockets of time to talk with God, to surrender your day, to ask him to give you that vision. And I think, honestly, I don't know any other way to tell people to do it than reliance on God. I really don't. I mean, I think there are things that people can do. They can read, they can journal, they can exercise. But for me to truly surrender and have my heart and my mind in a place where I feel like it's okay for me to hit pause, slow down, even stop, and put it in God's hands, have that complete surrender, I've got to be in communication with him and reading his word.
Mm-hmm. I think it's so interesting that as believers, as humans, we struggle with this idea of dependence, that we view it as mm-hmm. weakness. But really, when we think about it, again, as a believer, God designed us to be dependent on him. We think we can manage on our own, but that's how he designed it. And when we think about our own kids, you know, when they're babies, they're completely dependent on us, and we're not, you know, that's their season, that's their stage, and it's expected and we celebrate it. But again, as we grow, I think we think, oh, because we're adults, because we're moms, we shouldn't have to be dependent on anyone, but God designed us to be dependent on him.
Absolutely. And I think that's one of the, again, that's one of the greatest things that we can teach as believers, our children, our family, our coworkers and neighbors, that when we're dependent, when we put down those walls and say, yes, I need help, yes, I need God, we're being truth tellers. We're being vulnerable, and we're sharing the truth that really everybody knows, but just everybody doesn't want to admit, that I need help. And sometimes all the time of most days, I need help from something greater than the loved ones that he's given me. But that, again, like you said, that's why he has given us community, so that we can and will learn to depend on one another. And I mean, it's just, it's so important. And I think, like you said, the greatest reliance that we'll ever have is our reliance on him. Mm-hmm. Just that lifeline and that connection is invaluable. When I wrote the book, I really thought of, okay, because it kind of came together, you know, you're piecemealing some different writings and you're starting to see a connection and a theme, and like, oh, this is seeming like this is all coming together. Could this be a book? It just was very clear to me that it was a lot of less of this, Jody, more of this. Mm. And so the chapters just kind of really easily started falling into place of what God was speaking to me about. Stop worrying so much about X, Y, and Z, and you need more of, you know, this in your life. Mm. It was neat that the way that he kept opening doors, because I certainly didn't feel qualified or equipped to write a book. So when he placed that on my heart, that was something I tried to say no to and shove away and slam doors, and things just kept coming my way, opportunities and messages from people reaching out. And I just felt like he was very clearly showing me this message I want you to share with other people. And I think it is a message that other people certainly need to hear. And I hope that my words and the sharing of my story, you know, I always say, even if it helps one person, right, that's all it needs to, like, you right. know, it's for his glory. And if one, I mean, that's right. all it really needs to matter and to have an effect on somebody. Cause I know, like, what I went through and how I was feeling, and the fear and the darkness and the overwhelm of, I'm never going to be better, I'm never going to feel like I felt before this. Mm-hmm. And just giving, like I said, reaching that hand back and giving somebody hope that it does get better, it will get better. And if they're not a faithful person, I hope that reading the book will lead them to look toward God and dig into a deeper life of faith.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, Jody, as we are recording this episode and as it's coming out, we are entering the holiday season. So I would love to know, what advice do you have for us as moms to slow down and enjoy these next months, to surrender during these goodness. Months to come?
That's a hard one, right? Because, oh my goodness, yes, the holidays are so amazing and wonderful, but it really can become some of the most hectic, frazzled, clenching teeth times, right. That's for sure. You know, I think just remembering what it's really all about. You know, the holiday seasons with Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's, just really taking time to hit pause and remind ourselves. I know I have to do that. My kids are older now, so I feel like it gets a little bit easier. Now it's the coordination of everybody's schedules and who's home when and those right. kinds of things. But the shopping, and are they going to eat the food or not eat the food? You know, just all of those things, the hiding of the gifts, like, well, that is gone. I think just, again, like we just talked about, ask for help during this time. Like, if you're the hostess, you don't have to do all of the meal prep. Like, have people bring some sides, or have even somebody else do the turkey, and leaning on your spouse or partner just to help with the shopping and the organizing of things. I think what I'm starting to see as I've gotten older is like the presence over perfection, not presence gifts, but just the actual presence and enjoying being in that space at that time with those people. Cause I think we can get so caught up in the menu and the table setting and how the packages look that we just forget to be with the people. And I know, I'm sure when I was younger and little and growing up, I know that things weren't perfect the way my mom and dad did the holidays, but as a kid, they seemed perfect. Like it was great. And there's so many memories and traditions that I've carried on into my family and with my kids. And I think, Jody, that's what they're going to remember. It's not like, you know, that the cookies didn't turn out or that, I don't know, that they didn't get everything that they wanted, that they're going to remember like the stuff that really matters. So pouring our heart and our time into that, which I know is easier said than done, because we want it to be the perfect Christmas or the perfect Thanksgiving. So I think just giving ourselves some grace to hit pause, definitely ask for help from people, and just remind yourself, even in the moment, like, be here now, like, you know, kind of trying to just slow down a little bit.
Yeah. So good. Well, I have enjoyed chatting about all of that, but now let's do our fun questions at the end of every episode. So what are you reading, watching, or listening to these days?
Oh, reading, I think, goes right along with my book and what we've been talking about. It's a book by Michelle Borba. It's called Thrivers. And I actually, it was put in front of me by my children. Their school district is doing like a community book club with it. The subtitle is The Surprising Reasons Why Some Kids Struggle and Others Shine. And it's literally about how, as a society, we're getting it wrong by the constant pushing of our kids. So the more that they do, the more activities, the more awards, the more volunteer, you know, all of these things, like the achieving and trying to help them build a resume, that we're missing the big picture of things that they really need in their lives to thrive. Things like compassion and resiliency and empathy. So it's really good. She talks about like 7 different character strengths that kids have that she kind of feels like schools and families are missing, because we're looking for the test score and the achievement. And we're not looking for the confidence and the perseverance and the integrity and the curiosity in those things. So it's called Thrivers. It's great. I would highly recommend it. And then I'm watching with my 2 high school girls, we're going back and we're watching The Office. Oh. they have never seen it, all of it, before, because they were too little when we watched it with our olders. And now they're the high schoolers. So we're watching that. And my husband and I just started watching All the Light We Cannot See.
I have seen Netflix. People posting about this, and I'm intrigued. I haven't watched it yet, but
there's only 4 episodes. So we have one left. I had heard the book's been around for years. Right. I want to think like 2014, 2016. And now I mean, it's always been a book that I'm like, oh, I want to read that. And then I saw that came out on Netflix, and I thought, well, shoot, I don't want to watch it, because I'm very much a read it first and then watch. But then I was afraid I wouldn't read it in time and Netflix would take it off, and everybody was raving about it. It's so good. And I will definitely go back and read the book too, but it is very, very well done.
Yeah. Good to know. You're really probably like the 5th person that I've seen recently talking or posting about it. So.
Yeah. And you know, it's a good one to watch maybe with your husband and even the kids. Cause it's not really a love story. I don't think, I don't know yet. I guess things could happen in that, but it's, you know, World War II, Nazi Germany. So I think, I mean, my husband was like, absolutely, I'll watch that. That sounds amazing.
Yeah.
It's very good. Very well done.
Well, neat. Well, good to know. My husband and I need a show to watch together. So perhaps this will be our next show.
And it's just 4 episodes and they're like an hour. Yeah. Okay. So it's not like you're committing to 10 seasons.
Right. Something. Long-term commitment.
Exactly. Could do it over the holiday break.
Yeah. Well, good to know. Thank you for that. Next question. What is a favorite product, service, or practice that makes your life easier?
I mean, this is probably pretty generic, but it really is the truth, especially right now. Speaking of the holidays, I was just on ordering wrapping paper before I got on with you. Amazon.
Yeah, it really
I mean,
is helpful.
it just makes the shopping so much easier. And I still like to try to get out and support some of the small local places if there are things that people want from that. But Amazon really just does make life so much easier.
Yes. A couple months ago, it was my daughter's birthday, and we were going to have a family party on Sunday. But on Saturday, I realized I didn't buy plates or decor or anything. And Amazon had it all. I was able to order it, some of it to get there that night, most of, the rest to come in the morning, and it just took so much stress off of me.
I know. I mean, really, Amazon and gift cards, because it just makes gift giving so easy, or a thank you so easy. I mean, it just
definitely.
And that's okay.
For sure. Next question. What is your best soul or self-care tip for moms?
I think this one can be tricky, because I feel like, again, if you're the type of person or mom that we've been talking about that wants to please everybody and do all the things, I think it can often get confused with being selfish when people say, oh, I'm going to do some self-care. Right. But I think you're right. I love that you refer to it as soul care too, because we really do need to take that time. And that's my biggest, encouragement for busy moms or just women or anybody, is just taking that time for yourself, figuring out, first of all, what it is that's going to give you some rest and make you feel rejuvenated and restored and renewed. You know, if it's you just need 30 minutes to go read a book in quiet, or you want to take a walk, or you want to do yoga. I'm a big yogi. I love yoga. Or it might be like the massage and the mani-pedi, the getting the hair done, whatever the kinds of things that society tends to associate with self-care more. But I think just figuring out what makes you feel good, what makes you feel re-energized, and dedicating time in your day to make sure that that happens.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah. It's a very personal thing, and there's lots of ways.
Right. It's absolutely I think it's like one doesn't fit for everybody. You know, somebody might be like exercising, that'd be the last thing I want to do. That doesn't sound good, but right. for me, that is self and soul care. I need to do that for myself. And so, and if you're someone that it is going and getting a massage or your nails done or buying yourself flowers, then do that. That's not selfish. You know, if that's how it makes you feel and that's what you get out of it, then I say do it and take the time without feeling guilty about it if you can.
Yeah, totally agree. Well, next question, what is God teaching you in this season?
Always patience. Always just being patient with myself, being patient with others. Again, like we've said, with the holidays coming and the busy stores and the traffic and the long lines, it's so easy to get so wrapped up in the hurry of it all. And so patience. And I think for me, even though I wrote a book, it's going to be that daily learning how to surrender to Him and to realize I'm not in control. It's not about me. He's got the story written, right? I mean, it's beginning to end. He knows it. And if it's in His will, it's going to happen. And if it's not, it's not, no matter how much sleep I use, no matter how much I raise my voice or clench my jaws or have my shoulders eat my ears, none of that's going to change His will and His way for me. So I think just He's constantly reminding me, it's mine. You got to give it to me, because I tend to give Him things and then I take it back and then I give it.
Right.
every day, but that's okay. Right. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's easy to do, because maybe He's not doing it quickly enough, or it wasn't quite the way I wanted it. So I'm like, right. Not what my prayer really was. So yeah, just that patience and surrender for sure.
Yeah. I love that you mentioned patience with yourself, because I think, again, as moms, or because we're adults, we feel like we should have it all together by now, or we should know better, but we're all works in progress. And I don't think we ever will fully arrive at being perfect or capable at everything. So we need to give ourselves that patience and grace along our life journey.
Absolutely. And if things aren't the picture perfect meal or holiday or whatever it is that we had in mind, like, oh, well, did everybody have fun? Was it good? Just really kind of letting all of that go, trying to not lower expectations necessarily, but just being okay with the fact that our expectations might not be met.
Right.
And that's okay.
Yeah. So good. Well, Jody, this has been so fun. Thank you. Yeah. Where can people connect with you and find your resources?
I'm on Instagram and Facebook. That's mostly where I hang out. So Jay Knazowitz and Jody Knazowitz for Facebook. And my book, Soulful Surrender, is on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, pretty much wherever books are sold.
I'll be sure to link those so that listeners can find you easily. And just thank you so much for sharing your experience. And again, I think it was great timing for us as we're entering the holiday season to think about doing less so that God can do more, because it doesn't all depend on us. Yeah. It depends on Him.
That's right. Thank you so much, Andrea. And I hopefully someone in your community has been blessed by this. And that's really my whole intent behind sharing my story, is just to help others and share God's light and love.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for doing that.
Thank you.
Hey, friend, can I ask you a big favor? Would you take 2 minutes right now to head over to Apple Podcasts to rate and review the podcast for me? All you have to do is search for The Perfectionist Guide to Mothering, scroll down, give it some stars, and write a short review. That's it. While you're there, could you also subscribe to the show? All of this means so much to me, and it will help other moms be able to find the podcast. Also, in a few weeks, I'll be doing a special Q&A episode, and I need your questions. You can find me on Instagram at Andrea Fortenberry and just DM me your questions. It can be about motherhood, faith, friendship, marriage, anything you want to ask me. Thank you so much for spending time with me today. I'll catch you next time.